Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. The time is 1:35, and today is Monday, March 28th, 2022. I'm Senator Costello. With us, we have Senate President Peter Michicki. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
And Senator Gray Jackson, welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens is not going to be here because he was delayed due to weather, and Senator Rivak is excused this afternoon. So today we have two items on the agenda. The first is House Bill 111. This was introduced by Representative Sponholz, and it is the second hearing in our committee. It deals with dental hygienist advanced practice permit, and we have a committee substitute, and then my aide Katie will explain the changes. And I'm waiting for the motion. Senator Michicki.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I move committee substitute HB 111 version 32-LS0480/G as our working document today.
Thank you. And I'll object for the sake of an explanation. And Katie, thank you for providing that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Katie McCall, staff to Senator Costello. The changes between version I and version G of HB 111, very simple. So on page 6, line 18, it removes the words "and social services," where it originally said the Department of Health and Social Services. Now it just says the Department of Health, and that is to align with the recent split of the Department of Health and Social Services into two separate departments.
Thank you, and I'll remove my objection. Is there any further objection from committee members? Okay, so we have version Gulf before us, and would the sponsor staff like to make any comments before the committee takes action?
Good afternoon, Chair Costello. This is Chelsea Ward-Waller, staff to Representative Ivy Sponholz. We are in support of this amendment, and I just want to mention that it also changes the effective date for the regulations to be after July 1st, 2022, which is when the effective date of that split of the department would be, so that it wouldn't occur before the split happens, so that we wouldn't be mixing up our departments there.
Thank you very much. Senator Michicki?
Sure. Yeah, I was just curious. Went from immediate to the day after the split. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair, I move the committee substitute for House Bill 111, version 32-LS0480/G, be advanced from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection to moving the bill? Okay, seeing no objection, the bill moves, and we will take a brief at ease to sign the documents. Thank you. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. And next on our agenda, we have Senate Bill 234, creating an Office of Broadband and a few other things. This is the bill's first hearing in the committee. And we will have an introduction from my staff. It's a, a introduction from my staff. And then we have invited testimony, and then we will open it for public testimony today. So with that, welcome, Katie. Thank you for introducing the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good afternoon. Again, this is Katie McCall, staff to Senator Costello. So Senate Bill 234 establishes important guidelines for Alaska to qualify for nearly $2 billion of broadband funds while creating parity between urban and rural Alaska customers in a manner that allows for high-speed, reliable internet services to be provided at an affordable rate. In May of 2021, Governor Dunleavy issued Administrative Order Number 322 to create a task force on broadband to develop policy objectives and steps necessary to prepare Alaska for a large influx of money designed to move the state into the 21st century by significantly increasing and improving our broadband infrastructure. SB 234 seeks to codify the task force recommendations through the creation of the Office of Broadband in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, which will prioritize broadband service expansion in the following order of priority: unserved areas, underserved areas, and anchor institutions. And that language also aligns with that federal infrastructure bill. So the duties of the Office of Broadband will include expanding broadband access and digital equity in the state through federal and local partnerships, focus on broadband infrastructure projects that meet certain speed, latency, reliability, and scalability requirements while maintaining neutrality within those requirements, develop a procedure for adoption of broadband service maps, identify scalable and sustainable technologies that meet the needs of state residents into the future, support broadband equity and affordability for all state residents, develop a procedure for the issuance of grants, review and consider recommendations of the Statewide Broadband Advisory Board, which this bill also creates. SB 234 also establishes the Broadband Parity Adjustment Fund, which is a separate fund in the Alaska Treasury. The BPAF is created with the express purpose of offsetting consumer costs and making grants to eligible beneficiaries to improve the performance and access of services where, in many instances, it does not currently exist. Lastly, SB 234 creates a statewide broadband advisory board to provide informed recommendations on broadband policy goals and objectives. The board will act in an advisory capacity to the broadband office to identify project proposals and develop criteria for mapping and data collection, while striving to fulfill the long list of recommendations that emerged from the extensive work of the governor's task force on broadband. And Madam Chair, I'd be happy to walk the committee through the sectional analysis.
Please, thank you.
So this bill creates a new section of law under Title 44. So Section 1 on page 1, line 5, creates a new section, AS 4433910, to establish the Office of Broadband in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, and details the Office of Broadband's purpose, powers, and duties, to include expanding broadband access and digital equity in the state through federal and local partnerships while maintaining technological neutrality with prioritization of service expansion in the following order: unserved areas, underserved areas, and anchor institutions. Develop a procedure for adoption of broadband service maps that incorporates the forthcoming Federal Communications Commission maps in accordance with the Federal Broadband Data Act, and a process to challenge the accuracy of broadband service maps used to determine availability and adequacy of service. Streamline permitting processes and encourage development of in-state workforce to facilitate expeditious and sustainable infrastructure deployment. Establish a grant program and broadband parity adjustments. On page 3, line 12, AS 4433915, another new section, establishes the Broadband Parity Adjustment Fund. The BPAF is a separate fund in the Treasury which allows for grants to offset the cost of broadband services for eligible consumers. Funds can come from money appropriated by the legislature, federal funds, and interest earned on the fund balance. And the bill specifies that this is not a dedicated fund. Page 4, line 5, another new section, AS 4433920, establishes the statewide broadband advisory board. The purpose of the board is to provide input, recommendations, and advice regarding state broadband policy, goals, and objectives, as well as project selection, mapping, and data collection, and progress made on the recommendations of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband. Composed of 11 members, the commissioners from DCCED and the Department of Education Early Development, plus 9 members appointed by the Governor representing a local government, an Alaska Native Corporation, a tribal government, a school district, the University of Alaska, the healthcare community, the broadband industry, and a broadband consumer. Section 2 on page 5, line 2, specifies that this act sunsets on June 30th, 2030, which is to give the Office of Broadband time to roll out this infrastructure development and sunset it once that's hopefully completed. And section 3 on page 5, line 3, establishes an immediate effective date.
Thank you very much, Katie. And I really appreciate you walking us through the sectional. We have one individual online for invited testimony, and so we'll hold our questions until after Christine O'Connor has been able to provide her testimony. So welcome, Christine. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Chair Costello. For the record, my name is Christine O'Connor. I'm the Executive Director of Alaska Telecom Association. It's a great pleasure to be back before this committee. I just want to thank you for introducing this bill. It's very important to basically set us up to take advantage of this once-in-a-generation opportunity for broadband funding. The Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, or IIJA, as the acronym seems to be settling into, truly is bringing an opportunity to extend broadband in places where we never expected to be able to do that.
Christine, if I could ask, are you also a member of the Governor's Broadband Task Force, and are you testifying in that capacity or with your capacity with the Alaska Telecom Association?
Chair Costello, I am testifying as Executive Director of Alaska Telecom Association today. However, I was a member of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband, and the task force met for a limited term. We completed our work on November 1st, so I don't know that I have an official role, but I can definitely speak to the task force, and I also served as the technical subgroup chair for the task force.
Thank you, Christine.
As far as this bill, I would just say it puts the tools in place for the state of Alaska to take advantage of the infrastructure bill, or IIJA. It will allow the Office of Broadband to administer those funds, to coordinate across programs and with the various federal agencies. What is happening right now, we have multiple major programs granting funding to build broadband, and at this point, they're not very coordinated. So the office will have that very important role to help pull the pieces together so they work most effectively and we can take the best advantage of this opportunity. And the office also has a very important plan, or will have a very important role to create a plan for deployment across Alaska. And that is required by the infrastructure bill. So I'll just, I think, repeat that Alaska Telecom Association supports this bill. I personally support it as a kid that grew up in rural Alaska, and I still spend a lot of my time there. It's just transformational what you can do when you have access to robust broadband. So thank you very much to the committee, and I am happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate your testimony. Senator Machicki?
Yeah, I don't know that I had a question for Christine, but let's take something up that is interesting about the the fact that the broadband parity adjustment fund is not a dedicated fund. I know there's one email that's a subject that comes up often, and I don't know if Ms. O'Connor wants to comment on it, but the fact is the legislature may appropriate money into it or out of it at will. It is not a separate fund. It is not a dedicated fund. It's a separate fund, and we've had court action on this. It's quite clear. And the difference is whether or not the legislature can use the funds for something else. But I don't know if Christine would like to comment on that as well, and if it might be putting her in an uncomfortable position, but I'd like to hear her opinion.
Through the chair, great question, Senator Machicki. I can't speak directly to the intricacies of funds that the legislature handles. I can speak a bit to what the infrastructure bill requires. It will send or allocate a specific amount of funding to each state. And then the states, these are not block grants. This is funding that has to be used according to rules that the National Telecommunications and Information Agency announced. We won't see those rules until mid-May, but the rules will dictate how those IGA funds are spent by any state office. So I don't know if that's very helpful with the mechanics of the various funds, but that's what I am aware of.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just wanted to clarify for anyone listening about the dedicated funds. Those are clearly unconstitutional, and that is not what this fund is. It is simply kind of captures the dollars in one place. It's available for appropriation for other purposes, which is constitutional. But I do have, just for us, if we can, this isn't really for Christine, but I can wait. The Broadband Parity Adjustment Fund allows gifts, bequests, and contributions from other sources, which we have had to do, and like we passed the bill with DOT. And so I'm glad that we're doing that. If there are other entities that choose to contribute for broadband in a location or for a specific purpose, that outside private dollars can also invest in this fund.
Thank you, Senator Machicki, for the comment. Senator Gray Jackson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Christine, for your comments. But are you familiar with any of the concerns that Pacific Dataport may have with this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, I have seen their written comments submitted to the companion bill, I believe House Bill 363, concerns about the language calling for scalability and language discussing latency. I would just say that language parallels the exact language that are used in the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. So we're not carving new ground with the language in the Alaska legislature bills.
Right. May I follow up, Madam Chair?
Senator Gray Jackson.
So I have a copy of a letter that they sent to us regarding SB 234. And so do you have any comments on the other concerns that they've had?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, I'm just scanning the posted documents. I'm not sure what the other concerns may be.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And just for the public listening, the letter that Senator Gray Jackson is referencing has not been received by myself, the committee chair. We are aware of a letter that was sent related to the House version. So we will ask Sean Williams to just send a copy of that letter to all the committee members, and I'll get it, and I can also upload it and share it. And it looks like he's online waiting to testify, so we'll hear from him. So, Christine, my question has to do with how much of this bill is taken from the federal language, and if there's any part of this bill that is specific to Alaska. And my concern comes from, you know, we don't want to risk losing the opportunity for the federal funds. And so we are looking at this bill, and of course there are things in it that are Alaska specific, but could you point out those things that are not Alaska specific and really are from the federal legislation?
Yes, gladly. Thank you, Chair Costello. The section establishing the office and the duties of the office parallel the infrastructure bill. The infrastructure bill took a unique approach by saying we are going to basically require every state to have an office of broadband. At the point the bill was passed, 16 states did not have offices of broadband, but now everyone will because the bill requires it. So these duties parallel the things that are in the infrastructure bill. Just glancing through here in that first section, the call to streamline permitting is a task force requirement or a task force recommendation. The task force did not have authority to make requirements. A recommendation of the task force, I don't recall if that's in the infrastructure bill or not. The rest is definitely paralleling the infrastructure bill. The second section on the broadband parity adjustment fund, this is a concept recommendation of the task force. It's also something that the governor's office has written comments to NTIA, that's the administering agency, asking for the flexibility to have a program like this. So this is a task force recommendation. It also falls within the language in the Infrastructure Act, allowing a program like this on in their equity and adoption sections of the bill. And the third section, establishing the statewide broadband advisory board, this is a task force recommendation, but also the infrastructure bill requires every state to have extensive consultation as they develop their broadband plan. So while the bill doesn't require a state broadband advisory board, this board will be able to help with those duties.
Thank you, Christine. And do you have any information on the size of the task force that or advisory boards that other states have related to broadband?
Not specifically, Chair Costello, not at my fingertips, but we have gathered that information in the past, and I would be happy to provide that to the committee.
Thank you. And before we go to the public testimony, can you talk to the committee about latency and how it's defined in this legislation?
Yes. Yes, Chair Costello, this legislation just references latency. Specific, it's in the definition of unserved in the first section where it says an unserved area means an area that does not have broadband speeds of at least 25 megabits per second downstream and at least 3 megabits per second upstream with a latency sufficient to support real-time interactive applications. And that phrase is key. It means regardless of technology, the ability to have this kind of interaction, which we're using right now to very good effect. This is a standard that in other federal programs, they have set that bar at less than 100 milliseconds. This bill doesn't set that exact number. It just says the technology has to be capable of this two-way video. The infrastructure bill goes further, actually, than this language and not only uses that definition in the definitions of unserved and underserved, it also requires that any projects built with the IGF funding have to be also meeting that threshold of low latency or latency sufficient for this type of interaction.
Christine, is it your, I mean, are we going far enough then? In the bill, if we're not defining it specifically to match the federal definition, I mean, obviously there's a link there, but do you think that could be a problem in terms of administering this state law?
Chair Costello, I think it's something that is very firm in multiple federal programs, not just IGA. So it is something that NTIA will very likely be requiring. It's also required at USDA and at the FCC. So I don't think that we must reference that 100 milliseconds here, but I fully expect it is something that as the rules are issued from NTIA, we will see more details on latency.
Thank you very much, Christine. I appreciate you being here today to answer questions, and certainly I'm sure if members have other questions for you, we'll pass them on to you.
Thank you, Chair Costello.
Next, I'm going to open public testimony on Senate Bill 234. I appreciate those who've called in and have been waiting to testify on the bill. The first individual is Mark Springer. Mark, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and then provide your two-minute testimony.
Madam Chairman, President Fraticci and committee members, thank you for this opportunity to testify this afternoon on Senate Bill 234, and thank you, Chair Costello, for your leadership on this issue, which is so critical to Alaska's future. My name is Mark Springer. I'm calling from Bethel, and I'm a consultant to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta Tribal Broadband Consortium, which currently has membership of 17 federally recognized tribes on the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers and the Bering Sea Coast. The consortium is an NTIA tribal broadband grant applicant, and we are currently aggressively testing the OneWeb low Earth orbit satellite solution in the village of Akiak, where wireless service, last mile service, is being provided to every household in the community. And we are also testing the middle mile with a terminal here in our office in Bethel. Yes, this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, but I can assure you that tribal broadband advocates and NTIA tribal applicants view this as a gift of technology to be handed down to many subsequent generations. Really, the only corollary I can imagine to the promise that ubiquitous broadband access holds for our state and for our children was the establishment of our land-grant college and the back-then unimaginable results for Alaska from what has turned into our pride and joy of the University of Alaska system. Senate Bill 234 in many ways resembles the original version of Bill 363 introduced in the other body. Through a couple of hearings, 363 has been amended in what I at least consider to be very positive ways, not the least of which is recognition of tribal partnerships, particularly in light of the fact that the first real broadband development money to come to Alaska will be through grants to federally recognized tribes by the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. I would encourage this committee to carefully consider similar amendments to those in Bill 363 for incorporation in the Senate Bill 234. There does remain what some view as problematic language in both bills, and I cannot disagree. The fear is that without either specific wording or clear legislative intent, that although tribes in Alaska will be receiving as much as $1 billion for tribal broadband projects, the State Broadband Office, the regulations it promulgates, and policies developed by the Broadband Advisory Board will potentially be prejudiced in favor of existing carriers and internet service providers. This would be inherently unfair, both morally and competitively, to the tremendous efforts being planned and undertaken by tribes and their broadband development organizations and partners. As far as process goes, I still think there should be a mechanism for meetings of the advisory board to be convened in unserved and underserved areas. I'm not suggesting that all the members show up, but for the chair and a couple of members and staff to convene teleconference meetings in rural communities, this would be a far more inclusive public process. It would also give members and staff a real taste of what service is like in many of our communities. I also hope that you will, as far as amendments go, include a technical subcommittee. I'd also like to say that with the broadband office, mapping is going to be very important. The FCC is going to play a big role in that. I'd like to point out that maps of served and unserved areas in our state already exist. They're in the hands of the telephone companies, the internet companies. They know where every millimeter of their copper plant goes. They know who all of their wireless data customers are. They have post office boxes for them. I would really encourage, either through legislative intent or through the RCA or through the broadband office, that the industry in the state right now be encouraged in the strongest possible terms to provide that information to the FCC for their mapping process, in the hopes that the maps for Alaska would be done before maybe anybody else's is. Madam Chairman, again, thank you for your leadership on this issue. Thank you to the committee for the time this afternoon, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you testifying. Next, we have Harold Johnston, who's calling from Anchorage. Please feel free to state your name, and we've allotted 2 minutes per member of the public, so thank you. Harold, we're not able to hear you.
I'm sorry. Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Harold Johnston. I am the president of Alaska Tribal Broadband, a company I founded several years ago to be exclusively dedicated to improving broadband on tribal lands. I come from a tribal. I'm a Hawaiian native. My business partner, Craig Cleaner, is Alaska native, and that is our total focus. I have been in telecom for many years, over 40 years. I've worked for AT&T and Verizon's predecessor. I have run a rural telephone company and managed a telephone company overseas. I have never seen anything as bad as the broadband services or the lack thereof as our tribal lands. I am currently involved with one of the consortiums that Mark Springer just referenced, a different one. This is for Alaska Village Initiative, a consortium of 30 tribes that is applying for the NTIA grant. 28 of those tribes do not have access to fiber and will not have access to fiber for several years. They are hurting for broadband services. They do not have online education due to the pandemic. Support for healthcare is something that is sorely needed. You know, in Anchorage, where I live, we have good broadband finally available at fairly reasonable rates. That is not the case on our tribal lands. It's not widely advertised, but let me tell you what kinds of services our tribes are getting. The maximum they're getting is 10 megabits download at a cost of $315 a month. Most tribes get 2 megabits or 4 megabits download and the 6 megabits, which is as high as most of them go, is for $215 a month. And with a very small monthly caps. We would not put up for that in any, you know, the urban areas. There is a need. There's a need to solve the problem now. We are concerned about some of the language in the bill. One of the things we're seeing, we are actually implementing tribal broadband right now. Our objective is to help tribes get broadband as soon as possible. If there are solutions available and funding available from the federal government to bring about a solution fairly quickly. We just helped in implementing the ACIAC tribal broadband with the 2.5 gigahertz last mile network using the LEO satellite, the first application in the country. We are currently implementing broadband for the native village of Unalakleet. As opposed to the kinds of broadband services available to our tribes now, we're able to deliver 25 megabits download at a minimum level at a fraction of the price that's available now. I fully support the fiber build out, but we also have to be concerned that solving the needs now. My background's fiber. I've done submarine fiber networks. I've done statewide fiber backbone networks, fiber to the home, et cetera. I know what fiber can do. But our tribes don't have access to that now, well, not for some time. We need to provide solutions as quickly as possible. The new satellites, LEO, additional satellites coming on screen, will provide a near-term solution. So I'm just asking that we not prejudice against that. It's not an either or mutually exclusive. We need the fiber, but we need to bring about solutions now. Solutions are available. And someone mentioned on the committee was there any language in the federal government NOFA rules that was specific to Alaska? The answer is no. And so the federal government, from what I see, doesn't truly understand our environment in Alaska and how widespread we are. And that while we advocate build out of fiber, some of our tribes, it may never reach some of our tribes. So we need to take a look at all the technologies that are available. The previous state lead of broadband, who just left the state recently, lobbied or met with NTIA to get an exception for Alaska to allow us to provide fiber because of our unique situation. And with that, Senator, I'll take any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Since you've gone past the 2 minutes, I think I'll just hold the questions. And if we have any for you, I will let you know. But appreciate you testifying, Harold. Next, we have Sean Williams. Sean, if you could provide your 2 minutes of testimony, please. State your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Costello and committee members. My name is Sean Williams. I'm the Vice President of Government Affairs and Strategy at Pacific Dataport. In my former public service, I was the Assistant Commissioner of Commerce for the state of Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. In the last 24 months, some rural Alaska tribes have developed tribal consortiums, as Errol just spoke, and started launching their own broadband networks with wireless last mile and satellite middle mile. This new satellite middle mile technology is the most efficient, sustainable, scalable, and lowest cost to the customers. Our two companies, Microcom and Pacific Dataport, are helping them do this. It's kind of a broadband in a box solution for the tribes and the tribal consortiums. Let me clarify that the ATA does not represent middle mile firms like Pacific Dataport, tribes or tribal consortiums, or small ISPs like Microcom. They represent fiber telecoms, and they do a great job. I would like to take this time to share two recommendations that I believe would help make this bill stronger for rural Alaska: encourage competition and encourage sound economic decisions. We can encourage competition by removing terms like latency and scalable. These terms are subjective and not technology neutral, serving only to exclude satellite as an option. We also need to ensure that Alaska tribes and tribal consortiums and non-telecom providers have access to this funding as eligible grantees. These are the organizations that are currently deploying broadband to unserved villages in rural Alaska, and the companies they are hiring have extensive broadband experience in Alaska. We can encourage sound economic decisions by requiring this bill develop near and long-term strategies for deploying affordable broadband statewide using economic criteria like impact on consumer costs, timeline for deployment, breadth of coverage, sustainability without further subsidy, reliability, speed, and employing multiple technologies as required while maintaining real technology neutrality. The bottom line, we cannot let this bill exclude the tribes and eliminate technology like GEO-HTS and sometimes LEO satellite. That will get them connected quickly with affordable broadband. We also cannot continue favoring one technology that's taking forever to deploy, fiber, and usually ends up too expensive for the rural consumer. We need a fair market competition approach to broadband in rural Alaska. Let's make this part of the solution for rural Alaska and support the tribes in doing this themselves. There's one problem that no one's addressing. The Alaska Broadband Task Force in this bill prioritized building more subsidized fiber networks where the consumer ends up paying high prices for slow internet. These are rural networks where people are paying $400, $500 a month. Do we really want to prioritize expensive subsidized fiber projects that produce expensive and slow internet for rural Alaska? These are the facts. Anyone who takes 10 minutes can get online and find out what these fiber projects are, producing for consumers in Alaska. The last thing I'll add is that the IIJA allows states to customize their broadband office awards and recommendations considerably to address the state's weak areas, like missing middle mile, like Alaska has. The IIJA does set priorities like unserved and then underserved, and the definition of unserved and underserved. Those are uncontested facts. About 1 or 2 hours ago, I sent over written testimony with our recommended changes to SB 234. Please find a moment to review those in your those suggestions. Pacific Davenport appreciates that the bill prioritizes the unserved and works to organize Alaska's broadband funding. We believe that it is needed. It just needs a few tweaks here and there. We encourage the spirit of competition and anything that promotes broadband expansion, efficiency, and lower prices for rural Alaskans. I'd like to thank the committee for addressing such a major challenge for Alaska, and I look forward to helping where I can. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate your testimony, and if we have any questions, I'll make sure we get back with you. Next, we have Lisa McGuire, a consultant with OneWeb. Lisa, welcome to the committee. I'm glad to have you here, and please provide your testimony.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. I'm honored to have a moment to offer testimony today on Senate Bill 234. My name is Lisa McGuire, lifelong Alaskan who served with many of you over the years as we sought to connect more people powerfully in our broadband policies. I joined the OneWeb team shortly after its inception, believing that a constellation of low Earth orbit satellites in polar orbit would help us close the digital divide in Alaska. And we're doing that. We're the first LEO licensed operator. We've launched 358 of our planned 648 satellites in our initial constellation. What that means for Alaska is those satellites are orbiting directly over our state. And as a result, we are prepared and ready to connect the unconnected Alaskans and underconnected Alaskans. We're going to continue to launch over the years. We launch every 7 years to be sure that we have infrastructure integrity. It's a term that gets used a lot in future-proofing and other considerations. But just to be clear, that our satellite connectivity is future-proofed. On a local level, we have recently opened an office in Anchorage, hired local Alaskan staff, and are ready right now to continue to connect communities. One important distinction about OneWeb compared to SpaceX and others is we're a wholesaler, so we sell our capacity to local Alaskan companies. We enter distribution partnerships with them, which keeps those local jobs going and keeps that community expertise as a part of everything we do. So others have testified today to a lot of the remarks I wanted to make. I think Mark Springer says it best. This is an unprecedented opportunity for Alaska that we've been granted. And I had a conversation with Lisa Murkowski at one point where she said, if we look around after all of this money has been deployed and we're not any more connected, then we'll have to ask ourselves, what have we done? I'm grateful to this committee and your leadership for taking it up. I have long believed that it is the legislature that should be steering this policy. You are the body with the appropriating power, and it's the money that's coming behind this that will make the change. As I look at the bill, I just wanted to offer a few comments to consider. The first, I think, is maximum flexibility. It has been intimated that IJA allows for that flexibility so that each state can meet its needs, and that's true and important. It's also true that the reg writing process for IJA is still underway. So it will be many more months before many of these definitions are fleshed out. So I think it's important to keep flexibility, and then, Madam Chair, for you and your committee probably to follow that process and continue to relate back so that we don't end up with terms of art that have been redefined. I think it's really important to consider the middle mile, and you've heard that mentioned, but if you think about any kind of infrastructure, there are different pieces, and middle mile is that key piece in Alaska that's missing. And when you look at studies about why we are the least connected state in the nation, a big part of that is that lack of middle mile. So I'd love to see a mention of middle mile and perhaps even an emphasis to direct the Office of Broadband Policy and whoever ends up running that to consider as they award grants to consider that the middle mile is important. And lastly, on middle mile, it's the piece that allows for competition to flourish and will set consumers free. It's important to have tech neutrality, and that's been mentioned as well, but it's very exciting, Madam Chair, to have all of these satellite projects up and running in our state, again, offering a chance to connect with high speeds and low latency with minimal infrastructure input from the communities. You've heard Akiak here today. The community of King Salmon is also currently using our technology with a small user terminal. They can be connected to the world. So technology neutrality is really important. We've also talked about tribes and how important it is. We're partnering with some tribes as well. It's important to have language as you look at this language to really think inclusion, not exclusion, promoting competition, not keeping existing monopolies. And so wherever you see those places, try to think through how would a person awarding a grant be limited in the way that they can award. And then the last point I want to make, Madam Chair, is I think it's important to have some level of legislative oversight. Most of us are not excited about creating new offices, new governmental, positions that last on and on. I would consider having something in here that allows for a regular review of this and a consideration of whether the office is still needed. And I think it's important that as those grants are awarded, to consider the possibility that the legislature will go ahead and have a chance to approve that list or deny that list. Otherwise, I think you end up with a situation where whoever is governor appoints that person. It's a lot of power, a lot of money. And you don't want this to be the last time that you have your fingerprints on it. I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much, Liesl. I appreciate you calling in this afternoon and providing some recommendations to us. Next, we have Brittany Woods Orison. Brittany, if you could state your name for the record and who you're affiliated with and provide your testimony.
Hello, this is Brittany Woods Orson with Native Movement and Alaska Public Interest Research Group. I have been in this work for 7 months when both my organizations collaborated to focus one person on broadband, understanding its connections to all other issues in the state. I am from Rampart, Alaska, and for the first time, the Wi-Fi has been turned on there by United Utilities, a GCI company, and it costs $385. In 3 days, three families have used up their service. Rampart also owns their own spectrum license, which was awarded by the FCC for tribal communities, meaning they can own their artworks, employ our own people, and enable people need to return home when we had to leave. Instead, telecoms are on a race to create dependency of unserved communities as they always had. We need to educate unserved communities so they have the power to control their own livelihoods. They need to be in part of mapping. They need to know the infrastructure in their area. They need to know what technology options we have. If we don't bring the unserved or underserved communities to the tables, we will be reinforcing the same system with more money that has prevented them from getting internet in the first place. We need to create more transparency, accountability, education materials, and consumers' power of choice to strengthen our state. Those closest to the problem are closest to the solution. Thank you for your time, and thank you for everyone putting their work in. We have a lot of challenges in our state, and it's going to take collaboration to figure it out.
Thank you very much, Brittany. Appreciate you calling in this afternoon. Is there anyone else online or in the room that wishes to provide testimony? Okay, seeing none, I will close public testimony on Senate Bill 234, and we will hold this bill for further consideration by the members. And that concludes this afternoon's meeting. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, March 30th at 1:30 p.m., and it is now 2:25, and we are adjourned.